Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, we got a full house today.
We most certainly do. I am excited about another round of Dolphin Safe gluten-free programming here at Business Radio X. We have got a studio full. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Executive Vice President, Head of Southeast Region for Citizens Commercial Banking. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Mr. Brian Peters. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, Citizens Bank has been around for a while. You guys are well known. Can you talk a little bit about your mission and how you guys kind of differentiate yourself in the marketplace?
Sure. Happy to do that. Citizens Bank actually has been around 28, so that is a while.
Yes.
We're based out of Providence, Rhode Island, and we have a very strong presence up throughout the entire Northeast, going out, all the way out into the Midwest. But just recently, over the last couple of years, they've decided to expand into the Southeast, and that's why they brought me on.
And then your role is relatively, you've been with them in a short time?
Very short time. I started with them on December the 12th. So what is that, just over a month?
No.
And they've asked me to build out a presence here in the Southeast.
And then what? Why'd they pick you?
That's a good question. I think they picked me because I have a tremendous amount of experience doing this same thing. So most of my career I've spent in either the corporate or investment banking part of banking with two large regional banks. One that was Mellon Bank up in the Northeast, which was part of it was actually bought by Citizens. And the other a large regional bank headquartered right here in the Southeast. And the last job that I had with the bank, which was SunTrust, I was building out corporate banking businesses throughout the entire nation and had opened up seven offices throughout the nation for SunTrust. And that's what I'm going to be doing here. I'm going to be opening up, exactly already opened up, and I'm going to be building out a presence here for Citizens Bank all throughout the Southeast.
So now when you're tasked with that kind of a job, how do you, like, what's your first 100 days look like?
Wow, the first 100 days. So the number one priority is to hire good people. Mm-hmm. I've got to find talented bankers. Bankers that have done this job before, that have, you know, a wealth of experience, preferably, you know, 15 plus years of experience, calling on large corporations, bringing great ideas to companies, the great ideas primarily being, you know, M&A ideas, capital markets, you know, raising debt and equity if necessary into their company. And, you know, mainly just, you know, I've got to find the good people that can do this. And I've, you know, been fortunate. I've been in this business for, you know, 30 some odd years. And, you know, I've got a lot of contacts, a lot of good friends, and it's easy to get the word out there to have people come to me.
Now, when you're working with these, when you're trying to attract this type of person to the organization, are they bringing kind of a book of business and then they have to try to persuade their clients to move over to Citizen Bank? Like, what does that look like?
I wish it was that easy. You know, in the corporate side of the...
Because that's not as simple. They don't just like...
That's right.
Brian's over there now. Let's switch over.
You don't get them with a toaster.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you know, we target companies that are, you know, the larger companies, and I'd say on the small end it'd be, you know, 100 million of revenues. There's really no top end, but realistically, the sweet spot of our market is somewhere around 250 million in revenues, up to maybe, you know, 5 billion in revenues. And those kind of companies, they just don't move their business just because the banker moves from one bank to the other. But they do value relationships, and relationships are built over time, and trust is built over time. And as one good banker moves to another, hopefully very good bank, you know, the companies that had done business with that banker at the previous bank usually will open the door for that banker to come in and show what the new bank can offer. Now, it usually takes a little time before that company will move some business over to the new banker. But if everything is done quite well, then the company typically will allow the new banker to come in.
Because that's part of the reason that these large companies have relationships with banks is because you help them in their business. Right.
It's not price.
Right. It's not a transaction.
It's not a transaction. It's a relationship.
Right. You guys are working together to get things done.
That's exactly right. And the larger the company is, the less likely they are to have only one bank. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a good example would be, I won't name the company, but a very large company here in Atlanta may have a $300 million revolving credit facility, and they would typically have a lead bank and then another, seven banks that would commit capital to that credit facility that helps support the company.
And then when you're working, is Citizens, you mentioned that they started out in the Northeast and now they're here. Are they in every state? Along the Eastern Seaboard?
Well, so Citizens does not have a retail branch network outside of the Northeast and Midwest, but they do have people located in a lot of the states throughout the nation. So just to give you an example, here in the Southeast, we have a very large presence, large being, 40 plus people in the Charlotte market, right in Charlotte, in one building there. Here in Atlanta, we have 8 people today, which should grow to more than double that over the next few years. We have some people in Florida. We have people in Dallas, people in Houston. So, and we have people throughout the rest of the U.S. as well. But the Southeast is our number one expansion market.
So, like, you're in Atlanta with a relatively small presence in terms of people, but obviously a lot of resources for the people here.
That's correct.
So how do you kind of integrate yourself into the community to show that, hey, we're just not this Northeastern bank that just slapped our name on a building here, sure, and now we're here.
Sure. So the good news is I've got
working with you is, yes, a kind of a head start, right?
Yes, that's right. The good news, bad news is I have gray hair.
losing
what I have, but I do have gray hair. And I've been in this marketplace for a long time.
Right.
And so I know a lot of people here. I know a lot of bankers here. I've had some great relationships over the years, and people are already willing to open the door to me personally and to Citizens Bank as a company.
Willing to listen to you.
They're absolutely willing to listen, and I already have a head start. Citizens has over 70 relationships, credit relationships here in the Southeast, so we're not starting
from zero.
Mm-hmm. But we have had bankers prior to me getting here, calling into the Southeast from a lot of our offices up in the North, and we've got a head start.
So your priorities right now are hiring staff?
Number one is hiring people. So it's I'm looking for very good bankers, very talented bankers to join me. Initially, it'll be a couple of bankers here in the Atlanta office, probably another one in Charlotte or somewhere along the East Coast or the Southeast Coast. And then we have to hire the support structure. So we have to hire portfolio managers, coverage support. We're in the market for a risk manager as we speak. We'll be looking for some product support as well. It'll be a full house at least a full house in our existing office.
Now, how important is customer service and that kind of client nurturing?
Lee, it's always important. If you promise you're going to deliver something and you can't deliver it, then not only do you lose that product, service, and possibly also client, you lose that trust. And we rely on referrals and references all the time. And so if something's not going right, which it inevitably will happen, the customer service part is extremely important, and we have to be all over any type of issue and make sure that we resolve it quickly.
All right. I want to go back to this hiring thing. I want to learn more about how you guys do it and how you do it well, because I got to tell you, as a hiring manager here at the Business Radio X Network, I just want to hire somebody. They tell me they can do a good job. They seem enthusiastic. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. And that's probably not a good approach.
Well, I don't know if that's not a good approach. I'm not going to comment on that one. But
how do you do it? Maybe that's
thank you for putting that a little bit more succinctly and bluntly. So how I've done it in the past, and I feel like I've been very successful in doing it in the past, is more than anything else, networking.
Mm-hmm.
But
how do you define it? Everybody says,
sure,
network. What does that mean?
So the first thing I do when I enter a new market, and I'll just give you an example on the West Coast of my previous employer. I knew one person closely that was located in San Francisco. He was the guy that I had been in banking with 30 years ago, and he now works for Oracle. Mm-hmm. Called him up, and I said, his name is Ron. I said, Ron, who should I be talking to out there? So he said, why don't you talk to the head of our finance team at Oracle? He deals with all the banks. Called him up. I had actually met him before. His name is Bruce. I said, Bruce, who should I be talking to? He said, I've got your guy. Literally, the second phone call I made on the West Coast, I've got your guy. It ended up being the guy that we, at my previous employer, ended up hiring.
Mm-hmm.
Super guy, been in the business for 30 years. He had just retired from his previous employer, took some time off, and he was, still very energetic, ready to get back in the game. That's how I found so many people. Whether it's two calls. It usually takes a few more than two
Who
calls.
Who should I be talking to, though? You're asking, exactly. And you genuinely want their input, and you've expressed that you trust their input. And when they do give you that name, you follow through on it.
You hit it exactly. It's who should I be talking to? And, you know, I got lucky then, but, you know, normally it takes a lot more than two calls.
But that's your personal best.
That's my personal best, two calls. You know, so it's just letting people know what you're looking for and being pretty specific about the type of talent. I got to tell you, I made some mistakes over the years in making sure I wasn't specific in what I was looking for. And I got a lot of resumes and a lot of referrals coming over that didn't fit.
Mm-hmm. Do you use some of the online services like LinkedIn, or is that something that's important to you?
It is extremely important. I've used recruiters before, and I'm not adverse to using recruiters again. But LinkedIn has been just a godsend for finding talent. I can go online to whatever market I'm recruiting in, and just put in a few key names, keywords, look at their the people they're contacts with, and very quickly determine whether or not they are a potential candidate.
So now, when you're working with a new business community, you mentioned you're going to go out, you're going to hire some people that probably already have relationships there. Is there anything like tactically you do in a market? Like some people, they'll sponsor the new baseball stadium or things like that. Are there things that you do like that, or is that less important than just kind of building relationships?
Building relationships is much more important. It's, who have you done business with in the past? What companies fit the target market that
So you want a human to human?
Absolutely. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to be doing some, true marketing.
Right, like join the chambers of commerce, things like
that. That's correct. But, and I would expect as we get more people on board here, more infrastructure in place, we will, have more time to, to be doing things like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't expect here in the Southeast we'll be putting our name up on a new stadium.
Some banks do that.
They do. and they do very well.
And how about training and development? I realize that you're recruiting seasoned people, but I get the sense that enough changes quickly enough in your world, competency can really become a moving target, right? You got to keep these folks
fresh,
yeah,
on target.
So is that something you put a lot of energy in, this training and development?
We do. It's most of it comes through internal, and quite candidly a lot of it's done just through doing deals. So going out on calls and pitches with the product specialists in our capital markets area, in our treasury services area, when you sit there as the specialist is pitching their product or service to a client, you get up to date immediately with whatever is going on in the marketplace.
Now, when you made the change from your previous employer to where you are now, what was the draw? Like, how were they able to attract you to kind of this new adventure?
They said, "We'll get you on the radio. Yeah. You're going to love it, man."
Boom, I'm in.
Well, so first of all, I retired from my previous employer. And I just needed a break, and I had turned 55. I could retire, and I did. And it was a absolutely wonderful break. But my wife, as she affectionately says, she married me for breakfast and dinner. She didn't marry me for lunch. So, after taking some time off, I was getting itchy, and I was, I'd looked at a lot of opportunities and some great opportunities with some terrific people and terrific companies out there. And Citizens approached me back in November, and it was three different people that I had known over the years. One that currently works for Citizens, another that I had hired at my previous employer, and the third, a recruiter who had the engagement with Citizens. They all three called me in 1 week and said, "You need to consider this. This is a terrific bank that's growing, has capital. It's a strategy very similar to what I had done at my previous employer, and I was a perfect fit for it." And I said, "Well, it's pretty simple for me. If it's great people and great opportunity, I'll listen." And it was, and
but
it still is.
Was there anything like that differentiated Citizens from your previous that you were like, "This is a team that I want to be part of"?
I would tell you that it's it reminds me a lot of where we were at my previous employer, say 5 or so years ago. Mm-hmm. And they are now independent from RBS, so they spun out of RBS in an IPO a couple of years ago. They are now building the infrastructure and the product set they need in order to go head to head with any major bank in the nation. And in certain products, we are right at or near the top. But in other areas, we do need to continue to make investments, and we're doing that. And the opportunity to help build that, which is that was probably the most fun I've ever had in my career, is building a business like that.
So that's the fun part for you, is kind of the creating something from nothing.
Yes.
I mean, not nothing, but
well, not from nothing. Right. That's right. But I've built businesses my entire career. I only did one internal turnaround within my previous employer, and while that was rewarding, it wasn't nearly as much fun as building something.
Mm-hmm. He likes to hunt, man. So if one
can you feel my energy?
Yes, I can. So if one of these eight don't pick up the phone and call me, and I'm a high up muckety muck in one of these big companies, are there certain points in the life cycle of a business where it's time that I should be proactively revisiting my, what do you call it, like the line of credit thingy and all that? Are there points in a life cycle of a business where they ought to be doing that anyway, and they should be reaching out to a team like yours?
Yeah, I would tell you that it's not necessarily in the life cycle of the business. It's continuously. So you can continuously stay on top of the market. You need to make sure your existing bank group is the right bank group for your company. A lot of times there'll be a bank or two in a multi-bank credit facility that it just not adding any value. The only thing they're contributing is a commitment of capital, but they're not bringing ideas. They're not bringing a robust product suite. And if that's the case, if you're the CFO or a treasurer of a company, you're going, okay, if I've got seven banks and I know that there are, 20 banks out there that immediately would love to, enter into a relationship with me, which two banks are not adding the value that during the next redial of my credit facility, I, get rid of these two and I bring in the two banks who are pushing, the door down, trying to get in and are bringing good ideas, not just the capital, because, Citizens or any other good bank does not just want to bring capital. Mm-hmm. They want to bring great ideas and get rewarded for those ideas.
So when you say ideas, is that seems kind of like it's a soft thing, like you said. The money, right. I guess, is just table stakes at this level. So the ideas, are you having regular? Is this like quarterly meetings, monthly meetings? Like what should a company of that size expect from their banker?
Well, a company of that size should expect their banker to bring market color, market information. Proactively bring M&A ideas to the company. Evaluate the company's existing businesses and be candid about them and saying, listen, you've got four businesses here. This one doesn't fit. Why don't you allow engaged citizens to sell this for you? And as we sell that, we will find hopefully find a buyer on the other side, and we will finance the buyer. So not only do we add value to the company that's our existing client, we brought them the idea that they should sell this division they have. We're also bringing value to the purchaser, right, and saying this fits much better with your company, and we can finance that
because
for you.
You have a different perspective, because you can see lots of companies,
right,
and you can see a market in a different way than an individual company can.
That's right.
And so you want to leverage that.
Want to leverage that. You want to leverage your industry expertise both in their industry but also in your financial services industry. So one of the ways that, bringing value, may not only be bringing them an M&A idea, either buy or sell side, it also may be in the capital structure. So if the company is financing themselves with a 3-year revolving credit facility, and you're looking at it going, okay, you actually should go out longer on the credit facility, but also go into the public markets and raise debt in the public side, shrink your bank group so that you don't have so many mouths to feed within your existing bank group, and to have a much better capital structure all in. That's bringing value where a lot of companies may not really understand that that's an option for them.
Now, who in this company are you typically having these conversations with?
You'd like to be having those conversations with the CEO and CFO. Mm-hmm. Many times, the larger the company is, they will push you down. That's not nice to say, but they will put you with the treasurer. And treasurer, many times with large companies, will be the right person to deal with. But you really want to get to the CFO and CEO, so you're getting to the decision makers most often, and not just the influencer.
And then you're also talking to the person who is setting strategy.
That's right.
Because you want to have more of a holistic kind of view.
That's right. And the more value that you're bringing, and the more valuable it is to the company that you're bringing that idea to, the more likely you're going to get to the CEO and the board of director level as well.
Now, is there a pain that a company is having, or is there a symptom that says maybe I should revisit my banking relationships?
They will usually get that indication from the banks themselves. If it's like a marriage. If it's not working, then you need to have that discussion. And the banks will usually be good about saying, listen, this is not working for the bank. And here's why it's not working. We're not getting a good enough return. We're not being rewarded for the ideas that we're bringing you. We bring you this idea and you take it to another bank. That's when it's not working. And the bank will usually be pretty good about, saying, hey, the next time you redial this credit facility, we're probably going to want out.
Wow.
Well, I guess I didn't realize, and maybe it's just my lack of maturity for this aspect of business. I guess I didn't realize just how much of a strategic resource your banker or banker group can and should be.
They can and should be. You're absolutely correct. Not all banks and not all bankers do that. And I've seen it both ways with both banks and bankers. And the really good banks who get rewarded, they get rewarded because the banker is bringing the entire bank to bear to that client and offering all the products and services and the great ideas. And those are the bankers that that you will see over time elevate to be the lead advisor with that company.
I'll bet. All right. So what can we do the most at right now to support your efforts? Is it the thrust on the recruiting? Is it to get out in the community? What can we do to help?
A little bit of both. I think the number one thing is the recruiting side. I hope I get a lot of phone calls and emails. I hope I don't get bombarded with the wrong phone calls and emails. but there are a lot of really good bankers out there who may not know that we're recruiting right now. And, I can tell you that I've gotten a tremendous number of phone calls and emails and, a lot of LinkedIn messages, but there's no way I'm talking to every banker that I should be talking to right now. So that's probably the number one thing. And then the second thing is, with the companies that are out there, they may or may not have seen the press release back in December that I joined Citizens and that I'm going to be building a significant presence here in the Southeast. But they need to know that this is what I'm doing, this is what Citizens is doing, and that we have a tremendous amount to offer to these companies, and look forward to talking to them as soon as I get a couple more people on board.
Now, are there any industries that you guys specialize in?
There are, Lee. We have several industry verticals. I guess the most prominent ones that would be important to the Southeast. One is the Media and Technology Group. So they would deal with companies anywhere from traditional media companies, such as Business Radio X, or companies like payment processors.
You're involved in the fintech?
That's right. We're involved in the fintech side. I spent a tremendous amount of my career on the fintech side, but we do have an industry vertical that does that. We also have industry vertical that covers healthcare. So as you can imagine, particularly up in Nashville and the Tennessee area, but obviously here in the Atlanta market, a lot of healthcare companies that would fit within our industry vertical. And then we have an energy vertical that's based in Houston. We have some other smaller verticals, but the primary thrust of what we're doing here with my market expansion is calling on companies from a general geographic standpoint. And then if the companies happen to fall either specifically within the industry vertical or tangentially within the vertical, we'll bring in the industry vertical bankers to help us get a deal done.
And if somebody wanted to have a more substantive conversation, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Shoot me an email, some phone call. My number's, you can certainly reach me via LinkedIn. That's probably the easiest way to get to me.
Mm-hmm. And then the website is Citizens Bank.
Citizensbank.com.
Well, this has been, I don't know, like a masterclass almost, it seems like. Maybe it was because I didn't know very much going in. Keep up the good work, man, and congratulations.
Well, thank you.
I could tell you're fired up about this thing.
I am very fired up. I have a tremendous amount of energy. I sleep very little. I love working with people, and I'm working with a terrific bank with Citizens. So very excited about it.
Well, I'm fired up for you. We're going to follow your progress, and there may be some wisdom in having you come back in a few months and getting us caught up on that, maybe even some of these great folks that you haven't met yet, but we'll have recruited and been working with by that time. It might be fun to visit with your team at some point.
I would love to have them on here as well. Thank you. Right. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. We'll make it happen. Hey, listen, you going to hang with us while we visit with our other guests?
I'd love to.
All right. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us a couple of folks from the Atlanta Interactive Marketing Association. First, let me introduce Mr. Jay Jun. How are you, man?
Doing very well. Thank you.
Well, I thought you were pretty engaged. I thought I saw your head nodding a lot, maybe making a few notes while we had our banker talking here. What'd you learn in that segment?
I think we have a lot more in common than we realize. We're in marketing, he's in banking, but one of the key words was relationships. I mean, and we have our own definition of networking, what that looks like in our sphere, but relationships matter tremendously. And I think that just spans every business. So I'd second that motion.
Now, Jay, you're the president of the Atlanta Interactive Marketing Association. Can you share a little bit about the mission, what you guys are up to, and how you're serving the community?
Yeah. So Atlanta Interactive Marketing Association is kind of a mouthful. We like to call it AIMA for short. So AIMA. I'll just refer to it as AIMA. AIMA's been around since 1999, and it was a grassroots organization that was started by marketers in Atlanta that wanted to create opportunities to network, share, and learn. That's our mission. You'll see that on our website. But we ultimately create opportunities. We find ways for people to get together, either to learn about what's next in interactive marketing or to, you know, maybe find your next job, find other peers that do similar work. It's a great community. It's amazing that we've been around for 18 years and still going strong.
Now, but what was the impetus of, because there's been a, you know, there's a Atlanta Marketing Association or Business Marketing Association. Why spin off just Interactive as its own?
Wow, I can't believe I'm going to have that mantle to tell that story. So the way I understood it was when AIMA started, digital was very much the, oh, that's nice. We'll get to that later.
Right.
And I think in the 10 years that I've been here in Atlanta, it's, the conversation has changed from it's optional to it's a mandatory. And so I think when the association started, it was very much about just pure play digital. Let's just try to explain why digital marketing is important, what it can do for your business. And now the lines have clearly blurred, right? Digital and business are not, they're not opposites. They're complements, right? You have to have one with the other. So I think it's we're maybe in a little bit of a, I don't know. We're in a transitional time where I don't know that we need to be just about digital. I think we're absolutely about business success as pertains to marketing. But, you know, it's a group that's absolutely dedicated to it. And I think what is really a distinction for our organization is the people. I think that's where you might find the difference in our community. We like to say that we're not that other people are other associations aren't fun, but we have fun. We have a lot of fun, and we tend to skew younger. We tend to skew more anywhere from right out of college to mid career to executive, and really just focused around digital marketing.
Now, is the member typically an agency person, or are they in a corporate world? Because you're why don't you share a little bit about you personally? You're not an agency person, right?
I used to be.
Used to be.
Yeah, I spent 8 years on the agency side, and I'd say my employer now it doesn't seem like it is. I'm still doing services work, mm-hmm. So on the agency it is agency like. But I just say the membership has. I think it started with a group of kind of a mix of agency and brand side marketers. I'd say that it skews a little bit more towards agency for a lot of different reasons. But it's we try to keep a good mix.
Do you have bankers?
Not that I know of. Not yet.
There's an opening.
Not yet. We can tell you all about memberships. Well, sure. We'd love to help citizens out. Absolutely.
Bankers who are hunters and opening up a whole new market with it. I mean, there actually might be some wisdom in that. Now, you brought somebody with you. How about introducing us?
Yeah. Amanda Sparks is my wingman here. And she and I have had the pleasure of working together and volunteering with AIMA for better part of maybe, as long as I can remember, 5 years at least.
A great name to have if you're going to be in marketing. You're like Amanda Sparks. Like, that's fantastic. Welcome to the show, Miss Amanda.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, we are delighted to have you. I noticed when Jay was talking, there was, it seemed like maybe interchangeably he would utilize the term digital and interactive. And rather than give him a chance to defend that, how about you talking about that? Why do you hear that sometimes, that going back and forth like that?
They really can be used interchangeably, and we absolutely use them synonymously in our organization. So because we were founded with more of that interactive, it really involves digital. So I think we as an organization internally focus more on digital versus interactive.
So when you define interactive, you're using it in a digital manner. Like, interactive isn't a trade show, right?
No.
Like an in real life isn't.
Correct.
Right.
It's meant to be like more online.
Online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there is some sentiment of this versus what I would characterize as interruption marketing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, you know, mobile devices have completely blurred everything, right? So we could be talking about digital marketing tactics, but it involves someone at a live event. Like it's
well, that's true. You could be
anywhere.
At the trade show and you can say, hey, did you know, we got something going on in booth 34. And then so the lines are blurred. That's well put. You're right.
And now, speaking of events, you guys have an event, Celebrate ATL. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So our Celebrate ATL event is a spinoff of an award show that we've been hosting for the better part of a decade now. And I've been involved in planning that for about 4 years and have really led the charge in getting it to where it is today. So for the first few years I was involved, it really was a traditional award show. Think of it as a very low-budget Oscars for celebrating...
For digital marketing?
For digital marketing. Mm-hmm. So celebrating the works that are coming out of agencies and internal or in-house marketing teams for big brands here in Atlanta. And over the past couple of years, we've shied away from having it be such a formal award ceremony with the intention to allow everyone who is doing great work in Atlanta to be recognized at this event. So the purpose and the goal this year is to encourage everyone who had a small part in digital last year, celebrate that work, submit your work. We've actually gotten rid of the submission fee to encourage startups, folks from the Atlanta Tech Village, very small businesses who their bottom line is impacted by that $120 submission. So got rid of all of the fees, and we've created a model where we're actually going to be showcasing every piece of work submitted.
Wow. So now, is that our submission still, or can you still submit, or is it too late?
You can. We have a week left for free submissions, and then we'll have paid submissions or late deadline submissions until February 1st.
And when's the event?
The event is on March 16th.
And then what's going to happen at the actual event?
Sure. So the actual event is going to be laid out similar to an art gallery. So there's going to be...
Oh, wow. That'll be cool.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. So there's going to be big panels that are just going to feature the companies that have submitted, a snapshot of the work that they've submitted. And then we're also going to be putting together video docu-packages of the best three for each category and showcasing those at the event.
And what are some of the categories?
Sure. So we have Interactive Marketer of the Year. We have a Made in the ATL campaign. So that one is for work that either significantly impacted our city as a whole. So maybe you brought on a client and that client allowed you to hire 10 to 15, 20 more digital marketers, or it had an impact on our city's growth. We have a lot of best of campaigns, so more tactical search engine marketing, mobile, email, website, microsite, and all of those can be found on our website.
All right. Now, this whole organization, though, it's volunteer-driven, right?
Very much so. We get a little bit of paid administrative help, but it's always been volunteer-driven.
And then how is it funded? Is there a sponsorship, like businesses sponsor it or agencies sponsor it, or is that where the... enough funding just to do the basic stuff. I mean, you got to pay for the shrimp tray at the thing, right?
Absolutely. And we're an organization that likes to have fun. So we also pay for open bar for all of our attendees.
So you have a liquor sponsor?
We do.
And then you guys have like monthly meetings or quarterly. Do you have like Margarita Mondays or stuff like that? What do you have?
We should have those. We do. So we have three flagship social events a year. This being the kickoff for 2017, and we'll have a summer fest. That's just a big party for everybody. And then we also have a scholarship program, and we have a fundraising event around that.
Scholarship program. This is helping someone go to college and...
So these are for existing college students who are involved in the digital marketing programs or are interested in going into a digital career. And we have a scholarship program where we will... ask every, we have relationships with Georgia Tech, with UGA, with Kennesaw State, and we'll try to get those students to participate in about a 12-week program where they get to visit different agencies, network with potential people who could be their potential bosses and everything else.
That's fantastic. All right, so volunteer-driven organization. So I'm going to make another leap that both of you have day jobs.
Yep.
Jay, tell us about yours, man. What are you out there doing day to day when you're not at Margarita Monday?
We got to take that back.
I know, we do.
That might have to get into the event
schedule.
That's
on me, no charge.
Oh, man. You'll be our featured guest. So my day job is I'm an IBMer. I work here in Sandy Springs, and I joined a group that was acquired by IBM maybe 2.5 years ago. It used to be called Silver Pop, if you're familiar with them.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So I joined their team after being a partner, an agency partner with Silver Pop for a number of years. So my day job involves digital marketing strategy. I help brands do some pretty amazing things with email, SMS, mobile push, a lot of work around data analytics, just smart digital marketing. It's just, it's a lot of fun.
So now you work with companies of all sizes, or you have a sweet spot?
Somehow my client list has floated to the larger, kind of bigger capacity, but I don't know if I'm allowed to. I don't know, probably won't get into it. But yeah, there's, you know, like a big package company around the corner. There's
right. So you're working with the like strategically at the highest levels, like with the chief marketing officer, or is this more of they're hiring you to do
usually
projects?
It's actually kind of a blend. It's interesting. I think where people think of IBM is there's that old adage of you'll never get fired for hiring IBM, right? We work kind of in between, a little bit of partnership with marketing leadership, but then also helping, you know, my role actually gets into helping them do some of the tactical things as well, but it's connecting strategy with tactics, right? Mm-hmm. It's my day-to-day is a lot about why. If you're doing a bunch of tactical things and you're not sure why you're doing them, and you're not sure if it's actually making a business impact, that's where I come in.
Isn't that a great strategic question? Our previous guest, as much strategic work as you do, that's a great go-to question. One of the best things a strategic resource can do is ask the client why.
Oh, absolutely right. I mean, you get more information when you ask a question than when we tell the client what they're supposed to be doing.
So it's less what and more why?
That's my day-to-day, yeah.
And make no mistake about it, just to be clear, you'll never get fired for hiring Jay either.
There you go.
I'd like to say
we can make that popular. I know some marketing folks. We can get that out there.
You guys are crushing my brand. I like it. I like this. I'm so glad I made the time for this one.
All right, Sparky. Anybody ever call you that?
That's Sparks.
Facial
reaction, I think, Stone, you got that answer.
I pushed the envelope. It's good to know where the line is, right? You got to find out where the line is.
All right, I might take that back to the board meeting.
Yeah. You can try. I'll
swap. Make it all kind of friends.
A 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I was liking you.
So tell us about your work if you're still willing to have a conversation with me.
I work as the director of business development for ResponseMind Interactive. We are a privately owned almost boutique agency located in Buckhead.
Right. That's more SEO oriented.
We do SEO, we do paid search. We really operate in all digital channels. Mm-hmm. So where we really, our foundation started working with paid search and SEO, the way that a consumer searches for anything is no longer just limited to those channels. And so we work with retail companies. We have a focus on health, wellness, and fitness brands, and have more recently started focusing on healthcare marketing as well. And so work with all of our clients to first pinpoint who their best patient or best customer profile looks like. And then we will aggressively target the right mix of digital channels to help them acquire and grow their best patient or customer base.
So then what do both of you get out of this relationship with AIMA? Like, why is it so important that you've been doing it for years?
Sure. So I started working with AIMA when I was the recruiter for ResponseMind. So I started the job as recruiting and then transitioned into biz dev. And AIMA, it's just been amazing to watch the organization grow, and it's...
Well, as digital has evolved, the organization had to evolve with it, right?
Absolutely. And just the talent that comes out and the people that you get to meet, and having it be volunteer-based, I mean, there's something to be said about an entire group of individuals who come out and find the time to support something that is making such a big impact on our city. And so, you know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it was very difficult to try to get talent to come from Chicago or, you know, San Francisco and move to Atlanta because they didn't see the why digital here in Atlanta. And to watch that grow and to see so many talented marketers want to come and be a part of this and then inevitably be a part of AIMA, I mean, I think it helps you be a better marketer to be around smart people, not only in your agency or your organization, but to see how other people are approaching it or thinking. And it really challenges you to show up and do the best you can.
Has the kind of thrust of marketing automation in the city and us having several marketing automation firms be based here, or created here, and expand here, has that helped?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely helped. But I think that what's interesting is there are, beyond marketing automation, there's so much work that's being done from a creative design standpoint, from a digital advertising standpoint. I think I've been really impressed. I moved here from San Francisco, speaking of San Francisco, mm-hmm. right, 10 years ago, and from Silicon Valley, right? And
so what was the reputation of Atlanta 10 years ago?
I mean, probably what you would think if
crazy?
You're... Yeah, probably, maybe a little bit. I mean, you know, I think that the reputation was mostly unknown, mm-hmm. right? You kind of live with... You probably think within stereotypes for a good bit. And then, you know, coming here 10 years ago, you know, digital was still relatively new. But I think that I was, you know, definitely impressed by the quality of the just the skill level of those that were here in Atlanta. And, you know, just the way that we work here in Atlanta, I think is probably the thing that impresses me, continues to impress me the most.
In terms of collaboration?
Yeah, I think that even, it's interesting with AIMA, our board, like I have, my vice president works for Salesforce. I work for IBM. We sell competitive products.
Right.
It makes zero difference, right? Because what we find is that because the talent pool is so small, relatively speaking. Huh. People go from business from place to place to place to place. So, you know, it's great because if you are diligent and do a good job at one place, you'll get rewarded and go to the next place, and your reputation will follow you. Right? This is anywhere. Right? And so that I found that to be true here as well. Right? And it's so people know not to burn bridges. They know that relationships matter. That's just, I think it's instinctive. And
well,
I think that's
why. What a pleasure that must be to be a part of such a collaborative ecosystem.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's fantastic. And it's interesting because my specialization was around email marketing. And that's how I got into AIMA. And, you know, it was trying to organize a couple of learning events around specific topics around email marketing specifically. And then spending that time and giving that time and energy allowed me to build relationships with others who are like-minded. And then one thing leads to another. It's like, hey, join the board. Hey, now you're going to be in charge of marketing. Hey, now you're going to be vice president. And now here I am. Right? So, and I would say
so you're saying it's a double-edged sword.
Well, you know, well, I'd say that, yeah, sure. If doing a good job is supposed to be a bad thing, then I guess it is double-edged sword. But, I think what I get out of it the most, you know, it's I've volunteered for years through my church, the churches that I've been at. When you work with volunteers, it's almost, I would argue it's harder than a situation where you have paid employees, right? Because you're obligated if you're paid. Volunteer is really a passion play. You really have to care to put that time in. If you don't care, like it's self-evident, right? And so what's really encouraging to me and really makes, you know, my job easy and fun. And it's not because I don't get tired, but it's because I have a great board of directors. We have a great group of volunteers that do likewise, right? They, in their own capacity, they help in different ways. And I'm not forcing them to do anything. This is of their own free will. So it's an absolute honor to lead, you know, this type of a group.
Well, they must get recharged when you get together. And I know you have fun and all that, but you must really get recharged, Amanda, just by visiting with other people in the space, yeah?
I absolutely do. It's, you know, you have your day job, and I'm very fortunate that I love all of the people that I work with and get, you know, charged and all of that there. But you find the time to meet every Wednesday at 7:30 to plan an event, and you start bringing on people who are relatively new in their career or who want to get involved in digital and think that this is the first way. And no one's complaining about getting up at 7:30. No one's complaining about being there and just having that enthusiasm, and especially around the event, because they just start to build and you put an idea out there and you say, we think this is going to be fun. And then you start seeing tickets sell out and you start seeing all of these organizations. I mean, last year we had groups from New York that were submitting because they wanted to be involved in the showcase. We have news outlets. One just reached out to us this morning wanting to get involved and wanting to get a press pass for the event. So you start seeing that momentum grow, and it's just incredible to watch the community come together, everyone have a great time at the event, and be able to kind of, it's all volunteer. No one's getting paid to do it. So the intrinsic value is just, you really can't put a value on it.
So if somebody wanted to submit a website for you guys to go and submit and to be part of the event?
Sure. The best website I would just say is our main page. So www.atlantaima.org/events. And it's the first event that shows up. But that's just a good opportunity for people to go and kind of see some of the other educational events that we're hosting and what we have planned for this first part of the year.
And then they can get membership information as well from that website?
Absolutely. Membership and sponsorship information is all available on the website.
All right, before we wrap, I want to get from both of you, what are you reading? Because I have a little bit of a marketing role here at the network level for Business Radio X, and I get the sense that you guys probably are avid self-life learners. And I'm going to start with Amanda, but it may not be a book. I don't know if it's periodicals, but it would be helpful to me personally, and I think to a lot of our listeners, if we just knew where to go to start, feeding ourselves with some of this thought leadership.
Sure. I would recommend subscribing to as many blogs as you can. The Atlanta Interactive Marketing Association has a great blog. And there are, I mean, if you just type in digital marketing blogs, there are tons based off of your interest. Last great book I read was The Power of Alignment, but it's more just overall business instead of specific to
right.
digital.
But more consistently, you're the blog reader.
Reading tons of blogs just to get people's point of view, their perspective on what's coming up, what's changing. Think with Google has some great resources where you can actually, they leverage all of the data they get through their search engine to talk about how a mom searches for something or how a mom's going to engage with a product versus a businessman. And so all of that information, I think, is incredible as a good starting point.
Fantastic. Jay, tell us a little bit about what you read.
So I'd say that a tool I love using is Flipboard, and I get multiple feeds on my iPad. It's the one thing I found really useful. But, I'll tap into things like, for the trendy things, TechCrunch, that type of thing. But then I find that my network on LinkedIn tells me a lot more than I can find on just on the media outlets, right? Because they're the ones that are really front lines, and they read a lot. I think the other thing that I find myself I'd be remiss if I didn't say, there's so many resources out there, but like IBM just put out a bunch of thought leadership information as well. There's so many different resources, but I subscribe to a variety as much as I can just to stay on top of what's happening. So,
all right. So let's make sure one more time before we finish your segment, where people can go to learn more about AIMA and the dates and stuff on this.
Yep. So quick recap. So on the web, it's atlantaima.org. On Twitter, it's @AtlantaIMA. You can follow us there. We've got a LinkedIn group. You just look us up there as well. And the event is Celebrate ATL Showcase, March 16th at the Stave Room. And we're taking submissions for free through the end of this week. So we're looking forward to more submissions coming in. Last year, we had 120 different submissions, and we're looking to really blow that out of the water. So the more the merrier, big or small, doesn't matter. We really want to celebrate ATL's digital work.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show. Would you be up to coming on periodically to update us what's going on with the group?
I'm right around the corner anytime.
I think that would be fantastic. I think a segment on a regular rhythm about what you guys are doing, your upcoming events, and maybe even invite some of your members and learn about their businesses. I think that it would be fun for us. So that's number one. We got to check that box.
Fun's important, right?
But I also think that our listeners would get a tremendous amount of value from it. Let's explore doing that.
Yeah, right? Happy to. It would be a pleasure.
Hey, stay with us, man. We're going to visit with one more guest, all right?
All right.
Next up on Atlanta Business Radio, we have with us Miss RJ Harrington.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
It's good to have you back. You must have
it's
just been
be
grinning
here.
ear to ear as they were talking about all this marketing
stuff. I was, absolutely. This is my sweet spot, so love to hear about it.
Well, can you share a little bit about what you got, what you're up to at 20 and 3?
Yes, actually. So we are a one-stop creative shop celebrating photography and brand strategy and graphic design. So we are, I'm actually just moving in from Dallas, Texas. I'm originally from Atlanta, but just recently moved back to Atlanta and really just working on expanding the business and meeting with entrepreneurs and small businesses and making sure that they have everything they need to get started with their businesses here in Atlanta. So that's what we're working on right now.
Now, what was it like to kind of leave that corporate-y world and go and venture on your own?
It was a challenge at first, definitely. I have been wanting to do this since 2005, but taking that initial leap of faith was definitely a scary thing to do. A lot of prayer, a lot of thought went into that. But the good thing is I remember putting in my resignation for that corporate job, and the SVP said to me, "Can we be your first client?" And that was... that was my thumbs up.
I
said, yeah, you sure can.
I might be on the right path.
I might be doing the right thing. So that was my kind of thumbs up and my confirmation that I was moving in the right direction. So, and I think it's different for everybody, that leap of faith. Everyone, it's a, you know, timing is different for everyone. And, you know, everyone's bank account is different. And so entrepreneurs, I think that's one of the challenges that they have with that initial step out.
Now, what made you emphasize design?
So, in undergrad, I did what my I majored in what my mother wanted me to major in because she was paying for it. So I was a journalism and communications major. But when I went back to get my master's degree, I said, I'm going to do what I really, really love to do, which is design. And I went to the Savannah College of Art and Design in Savannah. And it was just an absolutely amazing experience to be around people that love to do what they were good at. And the environment, you would tell people that there were tutorials on Saturday at 6 a.m. and there would be lines out the door. So just experiences like that really made me aware that this is exactly what I want to do. And then not only being able to do it for myself, just because of a love for design and art, but to be able to share it with other people and to help people build brands and excellence.
Who'd you bring with you?
I brought with me one of my current clients and actually someone who collaborates with me in the design space. This is Jermaine Johns. He is the owner of Digital RCE.
Jermaine, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So how do you work with RJ?
Well, RJ and I, we collaborate on projects from time to time when it comes to graphics. When she needs graphic work, she typically calls on me and I give her quality work. Mm-hmm.
So when and how do you use her services for your stuff?
Well, RJ does an array of things. She also is a photographer, and she sent me photos to refinish. Digital RCE, we're a digital imaging company. We restore, color, and enhance photos of all types. So RJ, from time to time, she needs photos restored, and I'm always available.
You're her man. You're the guy.
That's
great. Yes, he is. And currently, he's actually going through a rebranding. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're working on right now. We're working on a new website, new social media strategy, and things of that nature. So that's our main goal right now, is to get him rebranded. And so much is changing with technology. And, you know, he started this many years ago, but just as technology evolves, photo retouching has changed, the technology around the different programming that he's using and things of that nature. But then, of course, that also brings different kind of clientele and things like that. Everything is done in the mobile space, it seems like,
right now.
So we're working to get him caught up with everything, because clients are coming in so much faster now. People are wanting things faster. You know, everyone's used to that microwave mentality. So people are wanting things in the next 5 minutes. So that's what we're currently working on with Jermaine's branding right now.
So where do you even start with something like that? Because I could see me as a client. I don't know, my favorite color is royal blue.
Yes.
You know, and I think red and black go well together. And, you know,
Yes, that's a challenge that we run into very often. I think color theory, that was my absolute favorite class actually in grad school. Color theory is very important. And I think that people tend to come to me or just in any way, in agency in general and say, hey, my favorite color is yellow. My favorite color is blue. That's how I want my brand to look. Or I like, you know, swirly fonts or something like that. But not realizing that there's a lot of research that goes into branding, not only on the target audience, but, who you're speaking to, who you're selling to, who your competitors are, just being in that space and making sure that you're actually giving people the branding that is actually going to work for them, not based on,
yeah,
I like the color blue.
With their favorite color, if we could figure it out, right? That would be a lot more powerful, right? It should be about them.
Right. Well, there's certain colors that appeal to men, certain colors that appeal to women, and then there's also those colors that are that work for both. And then you have certain colors, obviously, that say different things to different people. Your red here on the Business Radio X is, you know, a very engaging, a drawing colors, stop and look. We have some great information here. So I think branding is just very important. And I think that, you know, it's important to come to someone or to go to someone. It doesn't have to be me, but to go to someone who is a true expert in, you know, color theory and branding and making sure that you're not just kicking back to the client
but
their favorite color.
Yeah, but you've also got to have that same conversation like we were talking about with our first guest,
yeah.
Brian. You got to ask them what they're doing and why they're doing it. And
yeah.
I mean, you have to be...
There has to be a story behind it.
Right? The what and the why's got to come before all the colors, or at least it's got to influence that conversation, right?
No, definitely. That's part of the strategy. And that's part of the part that you do it before you even get into the colors, before you even get into the shapes and what you want your website to look like. It's about, like I said, who are you selling to? What's your story? What's your background? What do you want to tell people? What is the end result? And then from there, moving into the brand suite and pulling in colors and shapes and things of that nature. So
now, how do you get the word out to educate kind of the market of how smart you are and how well you know what you're doing?
Well, first of all, my website is something that I push out to people, and then also referrals is a great way to get business. But then also, to be very honest, just situations like this, I think, are absolutely imperative for small businesses and entrepreneurs. So what you're doing is absolutely amazing for people that might not necessarily get a chance to get the word out about their businesses or their whatever they're working on, or their different projects and events like Amanda was talking about. So this is an absolutely great platform. And so there needs to be more of this.
Well, thank you. Do you ever go to businesses and do talks about the subject matter?
I do, actually. I love to give brand talks. So I work with both small and large audiences about personal branding. We talk about everything from color theory, like Stone was talking here, to making sure we're magnifying our strengths and things of that nature. We talk about social media profiles and making sure that, you know, for instance, on your LinkedIn page, you don't have a picture that you've, you know, taken in your car with your seatbelt
right
on.
Well, mine looks
nature
just like me. So I think one of the first things I'm going to do after today's show is I'm going to hook up with John here, and we're going to get us, what did you say, colored, restored, enhanced?
Yes. Yeah,
restoration, color,
that's
enhanced.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
I need to get, that's the first thing I need to do.
We need to get you a new photo.
I'd be happy to help you.
But that must be fun work, I would think, because you're helping people represent themselves and their businesses or their cause or whatever in the absolute best light. I mean, that's got to be very rewarding work.
It's completely refreshing. It doesn't seem like work at all. I started my work through a personal search. I've always been told that my grandfather looked like me, even my father. Every time I see him or I do something, oh, you just remind me of my dad so much. And I never saw a picture of him. So finally, I was able to locate a picture from a family member, and it was a little frayed, none. and I was just like, okay, this picture is amazing, but it would be even better if I could restore it. So that's exactly what I did. I restored the picture and almost brought my dad to tears, and it affected him so until I was just like, you know, I could do this for others, you know, and I'm going to put this to work.
That's a great story. I hope RJ captured that for his website.
As he was talking, I was like, this is good stuff.
But that's the kind of stuff you...
No, that's the story you were talking about.
That's right.
And you got to draw that out of your client and help them translate that. And it's not like the old days. You don't translate that to a four-page, four-color brochure. Right. You might, but you also got to get it looking good in mobile. You got to get it sounding good on the radio, looking good on the video.
Exactly.
Man, it was job security anyway.
Exactly. Thanks for pulling that out, Lee. Yeah, this is wonderful. send me an invoice.
Jermaine, can you, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, is there a website?
Absolutely. Lee, it's www.digitalrce.com, or they could call me directly at 770-365-1721.
And RJ, for you?
Definitely. At Twitter, which is 20and3, that's TWENTYAND, and then the number 3. And then the website is the same, www.20and3.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, guys.
It's fun.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton, our producer, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, and all of the Business Radio X family. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.